Hello, everyone. It's Nathan here. And we are live going over the deal analysis call. Welcome to Larry Goins' Inner Circle Call, deal analysis. And I'm coming to you live from Lake Wylie, South Carolina, actually, today. I'm actually hanging out with Larry and some of the students that have come out to his office. I'm doing the call from here. Who do we have on the call today?
Joyce from New York.
Hi, Joyce.
How are you, Nathan?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Good. Good to hear your voice.
Good. All right. And who else do we have on the call? All right. Okay. All right, so I got my notes up. And if any people who join in, you can or ask any questions along the way, that's fine as well. And the premise of this call is to go over any type of deal that you're currently working on or, working on in general, or maybe an example or something you got, whether you're putting something under contract, either way, or if you just want to share a challenge or a hurdle that you're going through, trying to figure it out, work it out, let's do that. So if anybody would just want to jump in, feel free.
Nathan, I went into a new market, and I know that if you look at the prices of houses, of course you want to make a lower offer, but I keep getting confused in doing Filthy Riches. If you go someplace, it's a Filthy Riches house, and maybe there's a local market for it. You're going to advertise it on Facebook Marketplace, put signs, and try to get someone local that wants to be a homeowner. So maybe they would like the area. So it's not so much about qualifying the area. But when you see prices on items, like let's say it's a house that's not in such good condition, you want to come in like with a percentage off the asking price. How do you actually know if you're getting a good deal, though? Do you sort of have to look around the area and see what the comps are see what prices the surrounding houses are? And if it is that there's all cheap houses, they're all at that price, then maybe you're not getting such a good deal, so you have to go much lower?
Yeah. Okay. That's a great question. And some of what you said is true. You're accurate with that. So let me explain. The first thing you want to make sure that when you're doing these owner finance type properties, and here's the thing, you can do owner finance properties on any price point. It could be as low as $30,000 to as high as $1 million. I mean, owner financing can be done on any type of property. However, with these type of single family properties, okay, we have a sweet spot. And that's typically right around under $115,000, $110,000 because the banks don't finance those. So we want to make sure that we can sell the property. Okay, we want to make sure we can sell that property for above, I would say, around above $80,000. Okay, maybe $70,000. I like to be above $80,000. So now, purchase price, when it comes to purchase price, Larry has a factor of times two plus of the purchase price, plus $10,000. Okay, so he'll do. Let's say you purchased a house for $40,000, times two plus $10,000. So you're looking at a sale price of about $90,000. Okay, so that's like Larry's formula. What I recommend as well, in addition to that, is yes, you do have to do a little due diligence about what the market is in that area. If the similar properties of a 3-bed, 2-bath manufactured house, 1,200 or 1,300 square feet are all pretty much selling around $40,000 and $50,000, and they all hold that value, then that's fine. You'll kind of gauge what that is. What you also want to do is you want to make sure what the rents are, okay, and you can do a rental analysis. What you want to make sure with the rent is that you really want to be up above $500 a month. What I've noticed is as soon as the rents start dipping low than $500 a month, it's a change of atmosphere. You're probably looking at more like $30,000 properties, $20,000 properties, and I'm talking full purchase price. So
yeah.
You really don't want to be too low, because now it's just a whole different type of ball game. Your down payments are going to be a lot lower, and it's just not going to be your ideal type of situation. Does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Okay. Your ideal situation is someone where you are purchasing it for, let's say, I mean, you could purchase it for as low as you want. It could be $10,000, could be $15,000, could be $30,000. But just keep in mind, you don't, when you turn around and sell it, you don't want to be like $110,000 and above that. Okay, you don't want to be that high. So your purchase price can be somewhere between as high as $50,000 to $60,000. Maybe like $55,000 and below, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as low as you want to get it, okay? That's entirely up to the negotiation. Then when it comes to what you're going to sell it for, you can. This is what I do. It's just a strategy that we have in our business. We try to build in at least $5,000 to $10,000 worth of the equity to the buyer. Here's what I mean. For example, we just bought a property a few months ago. We bought it for $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we paid all in. We paid the property was $38,000. With closing costs and everything, it was $40,000 all in. $40,000. We turn around, and the value of the property was on the high 90s, like 98, between 102. Okay. What we did was we took off $10,000 from the 98, which brought it to $88,000. Okay. So
mm-hmm.
we sold the property for $88,900.
Yes.
And that's what we turned around and sold the property. So when we told them, we said, look, the average market value of properties in this area are
mm-hmm.
right around $98,000. We're giving you $10,000 worth of equity already in the deal, and that makes them happy. And then, you know, we map out the pricing from there. So we turned around and sold that property for around $88,900.
I see.
That makes
mm-hmm.
sense? So we yeah. have a 50%. You see, we have a double factor. 100% a purchase price. We bought it at 40, all in at 40, and we doubled the amount of return on that
right.
deal. So that's how we specifically do it. We like to add in the equity factor because it's a selling point to the homeowner. We like to say, listen, we're actually building, because a lot of the people who buy our homes, they're either we mostly target military families, like ex-military. And
mm-hmm.
we do a lot of work in the Hispanic community. So we like to use that as a selling point. And it can be done with any community, really. Just say, hey, we're giving you your first-time home, but you're already going into your home with equity. You're not even paying retail.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a little selling advantage that we use. But as cheap as you can get it would be ideal.
Mm-hmm. Now, are these military families around bases that they need to live around the base?
Yeah, sometimes, well, here's the thing. If they are under contract with the military, sometimes they're in rentals. Most of the time they're in rentals. So if you are buying properties, you could do leases with these military people. Now, we've done this. We don't do too much of it. We actually do a lot of what happens with these military personnel is after their contract is over with the military, they actually like to stay in the area. They fall in love with the area. They have friends there. So they end up moving there, and we offer ex-military veterans, homes. However, we also have homes that we just do leases, because
mm-hmm.
when they're under contract with the military, they don't really own the home yet. They just go under a lease because the government gives them a stipend for that. So pretty much what happens is in the military, when they're under the military contract, they lease. Then when they are veterans, they buy. So we have two options there.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, getting back to these prices, I was looking in this area in Dayton, and there was a house for $29,999. And
yep.
On the website, there's similar homes available for sale, $36,000,
yep.
$28,000, $35,000, $24,000. So now I'm thinking,
right.
If it is $29,000, and maybe that's just what the prices are in the area. It's not that it's a cheap house. So you still have to know if that's the value of the house and you want to
right.
offer maybe, let's say a house like that that is $30,000. You'd want to get it for much less so that you could double it and still give people equity.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. If the house is if the house is only worth like $30,000 and the price is, let's just say $30,000, the thing is, the tough part about that kind of deal is, one, the type of person that's going to go into it might not have a lot of a down payment. Okay, that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. They might only have $500 or maybe $1,500. That's already a problem in itself, okay? Because you really want to try to get bigger down payments, typically over $5,000, okay? Then, because the lower you go in that situation, it's more of a renter, right?
Yeah.
Now, you know, and you might have more foreclosures if you're going lower. So the other situation is, if the monthly payment on $30,000 is very low, you're probably looking at, I don't even know off the top of my head, but it could be anywhere between, $200 to $500 a month.
Right.
In homeowner, in a mortgage payment, $600 mm-hmm. the most. It's a little bit low. It's almost like a renter. And I wouldn't do an owner finance with that type of strategy. I would do rent to own. I would do a rent to own type of situation. With that type of price point, but I wouldn't do the owner financing because your main goal, unless you want to be in the foreclosure business, if you're going to have a high turnover in foreclosure rate, it can be very expensive if you're constantly turning those kind of, that clientele over and over again. They may be better as a renter rather than a homeowner. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So then rent to own, you'd have to do a different deal.
Yeah, it's just a different contract. They're basically renting with the possibility of owning. But I would do maybe consider that kind of strategy over owner financing. It's just there's not a lot of meat on the bone. Even if you wanted to turn around and sell the note, there's still not a lot of meat on the bone if you wanted to sell the note. Does that make sense?
Right. So then I really have to look for houses that are asking a lower price, but the surrounding ones are asking more.
Yeah. Well, and another thing too, keep in mind the purchase price or the prices you see on the websites or whatever, those are just asking prices. Those are not what you're going to get it for.
Yes.
Typically what I like to do, what we like to do is we find properties that are already being listed around 50,000 and a little bit above, like 50, 70, 80, because we're not going to pay 50, 60, 70, 80 because we're going to negotiate. We're going to make our offer and we're going to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's typically what we do if we're making offers through, like, anything online offers. Or we also like to go right to Craigslist. I'll give you an example. We had a gentleman who had his house listed for $65,000, and we picked it up for half the price. We picked it up for $33,000.
Uh-huh.
And it was just on Craigslist. Motivated seller on Craigslist. So... Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are listing them higher, but you're not going to pay the $60,000. You've got to make your offer and negotiate.
I see. All right. Then. So in other words, if I do look at houses that are 50, 70 to 80 ask, and I do make the lower offer, so it's just the motivated seller that I have a chance at getting.
Yeah, you would want to be working with motivated sellers, right? That's our angle. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't want to pay retail for a property because that's just going to be bad for you. And we're investors. We're not homeowners. So we don't want to be in that situation. We want to be getting a good deal on a property. So, you don't want to pay retail.
And I should keep in mind that the rent has to be above. Let me see. What did you say?
I would recommend above $500 a month in the area.
Okay.
That's what I would recommend. Anything lower than that is basically it might be a higher – you might have a harder time getting, decent people decent payments on a consistent basis.
Right.
Into the area, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, thank you very much. That's a help.
No problem. All
right, thank
Great.
You.
Thanks for being on the call. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have any other further questions, by the way, you can always email me at nathan@larrygoins.com. So it's nathan@larrygoins.com.
Okay. Thank you, Nathan.
Sure, no problem. All right. We can open up for the next question. One thing I realized when I got off the plane, and it actually took me a lot longer to get to Charlotte, is I forgot how hot it was here in North Carolina in the summertime. Or
it's
coming into summer.
Already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like really warm. The humidity's high. I'm just not used to it. And I used to love living here in North Carolina. I absolutely love the area. But, man, it is hotter than what I'm used to now. These days. Yeah. And you said you said you're up in New York?
New York. We had thunderstorms last night, and upstate New York got hit very hard. Many counties were declared disaster areas.
Oh,
emergency. A lot of fallen trees, blown off roofs.
Oh,
to
wow.
check to see if there were actually tornadoes. But we had heavy, heavy rain. And it's
cold. Oh, wow.
Low 60s here today.
Yeah, wow. I was actually stuck in JFK Airport for about 8 hours because of the rain and the fog. The fog was so intense.
Yeah.
You couldn't even see planes on the runway. It was so foggy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was stuck in that for a while. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, you know what, also going to a new area, like I'm looking in Dayton, and Dayton
yep.
is an inexpensive place. I guess I have to set myself up and get signs and make some contacts to have signs in someone's hand that they could put up for
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
I know
oh,
there's a
absolutely.
Lot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, so every time you go into a new market, you really have to get set up there in some way.
You do. Yeah, you do. And I talk about this quite often, is building a power team. I call it a power team. It's that team there. That
yes.
you have to have set up, because you're going to need people to put out signs. You're going to need an attorney in that area, a title company in that area, a real estate agent to help you pull comps. Yeah, you need to, no matter what, and Joy, like most of the time I live in Uganda, Africa, and then the other half of the year I live in Portugal. But the thing is, in the states I invest in North, South Carolina, and in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and as well as Texas, I have people there, even though I'm not there all the time. I have a
yeah.
team of people there, you know, and that's a must. You know, for example, we just picked up a piece of land in South Carolina, two and a half acres, but it was this town that I don't know anyone in, so
mm-hmm.
I needed to find someone to put out signs on that property, to put out four signs. So what we did, one of my team members, she went online, she posted that on Craigslist, and this guy went out there and put out the signs, and he actually found us a buyer for the property.
Oh,
and that
nice.
Was fantastic. We paid him $1,000 referral fee, but man, it was like this guy who we found on Craigslist to put out our sign brought us the buyer as well. You know,
isn't
but you definitely have to have the people in that area to help you build the business, for sure.
Well, that's like having a needle fall out of the haystack.
I'm telling you, I was shocked. Because I've never had it happen to me before.
That's
and,
wonderful.
But, yeah, it was fantastic. You know, we paid him $50 to go out to the property. It was like a 30-minute drive. So we paid him $50. He bought the signs. And for the signs and driving out there and his time, it cost $50.
Yeah.
And he went out there and did it all. And, that was it. And then he brought us the buyer, like, literally days later. And then we
wow.
closed on it. It was a quick closing, small piece of property, but it was a quick closing. And we paid him $1,000 just for making that happen.
And now how did that come about? You just found a piece of property online?
No. This was through a motivated seller through a direct mail campaign. What I did was I did a tax delinquent. I pulled a tax delinquent list of
mm-hmm.
property owners that were out of state. So there was two search criteria, out of state property owners and tax delinquent. And it was a woman who lived in North Carolina. Out of state, a woman who lived in North Carolina that was delinquent on her taxes in South Carolina on this piece of land, and that's what it was. So she was only delinquent $300.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Wow. And then he just put one sign in front of the property?
Mm-hmm.
He just put one
put
sign
four.
Up at the property?
He put four signs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the buyer didn't come from the sign. The buyer came from him. Like,
oh.
he knew someone. Yeah, he knew. He's like, hey, when he got to the property, he put off the signs and he said, hey, I think I might know someone who'd be interested in this land. They're looking for a corner lot. And so he told that to my power team member, and she's like, okay, well, give us the contact, and if you know, if he buys the property, we'll give you a referral fee.
Oh, that's
so
great.
He didn't know how much he was getting, but, you know, once we got qualified the buyer, we talked to the buyer was like, yeah, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And he said, I drove by here like 2 years ago, but I wasn't going to do a business at the time, but I know the area, and the last time I was in the area was 2 years ago. This is perfect. So we moved forward to closing, and we sent the guy, Mike, who put out the sign and brought us the buyer, we sent up $1,000.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what's sort of slowing me down, because if I don't have a property in a particular place, there's no need to have a team. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? But I think I have to get my act together so that I could look efficiently and then be ready with the next move, and I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I have
you know,
to do.
And, yeah, you bring up a good point. Sorry for the chainsaw behind me. They're doing some construction over here. I think we all need to get our act together. You bring up a great point. We all need to get better at building our business and having people. We need to take our business seriously so that other people can take us seriously. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I feel a little lost. Like, I spoke with this realtor yesterday, and she's in Dayton. I don't know much about Dayton. I've never been there. So I'm speaking, and I'm trying to tell myself, well, it's just like if it's whatever type of neighborhood it is, it's comparable to a neighborhood in the state that you live in. So it can't be that foreign. But there's a lot that you don't know. And it's also with the Internet, like I'm not that savvy. I don't do much on the Internet. I'm getting to do more and more. But it's a little difficult to set things up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And until you get you have to do it piece by piece.
That's right, yeah. And especially if you're doing it virtually, like there are some towns in South Carolina I have never I've never been to them.
Right.
And what I do is there's two things. One, I do a little bit of online research. I get to know, like, I'll do economic journals. I'll type in, like, jobs coming into the town. I'll put the town and the city and the state. And I always look for job growth. I kind of look into economic development that's happening in that area. And then Dayton, Ohio has been through a tough time, but they are recovering now. So the thing is, I do that online, but also asking people, just even asking. It's about calling a bunch of people in the area, title companies, appraisers, agents, and hearing their opinion. And I don't mean just one or two people. I'm talking, you got to call a lot of people, especially if you're not leaning on the Internet as much. And you have to, like, get to know them, what's going on in the area. But I know you can definitely do it virtually. It's just about knowing the market. And at some point, you may travel there. You may not.
Yeah.
That's okay. I bought properties for the past 4 years in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and I've never been to Jacksonville, North Carolina. And we've done over 50 deals in that area. I've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
But we know the area by Google Maps. That is a great way to see the area, by the way, Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing
okay.
tool. And then you can use the Internet to use a website called City Data. Now, it's City, C-I-T-Y, dash data, D-A-T-A. So citydata.com will give you that insight about data in that marketplace. It's a really good website.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some websites that provide census information and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, just to know the area and know what's going on and then building the relationship to the area really helps out.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and we all need to be more prepared. We all need to, you know, treat our business like a business, not just a hobby.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I went to realtor.com yesterday, and I clicked on that I'd like some more information about this home. That's the way you had to do it. And somebody called me back immediately. It wasn't a realtor. It was someone called, it was someone from a company. I can't see that now. Op City Realty. And he said, he asked me a couple of questions, and he said, I'll put you in touch with a realtor. So he put me on the phone with a realtor that came from Iron Gate Realtors in Dayton, Ohio. And I asked her some questions about the listing, and she said, I don't know. I don't know anything about this. I'll have to contact the listing agent. So I said, well, why isn't it the listing agent? You would think that you would click on it, and it would be the listing agent that pops up. And she said that this Op City Realtors made a deal, I think, with Trulia and Zillow, where they come in, And they get a lot of information, and they contact realtors. And whoever
right.
wants to go on board with them, that's how they assign it. And the only way you're getting assigned from Zillow is if you're a big payer or something.
So yeah, advertiser, yeah.
This lady sounded very nice, very knowledgeable, and very experienced, and I'm going to speak with her again today. But I said, you know, you really have to put in the address of the house, Google it, and then that, I think that's how the listing agent comes up, probably.
Correct.
But,
correct.
You know,
yeah.
you're sort of being, you have to take it into your own hands and then learn as you go along, because you're sort of, this man came up and he told me who to speak to. I don't need him to tell me who to speak to. He was of no help. He wasn't helping.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
right.
But this, it just happened with this house that the man was, he has four properties. He's looking to liquidate some of his portfolio, and but the house wasn't fully done. So it looks to me like he might be in a rehabber who ran out of money. I don't know.
Okay.
So it might be a good deal for a couple of $1,000. I don't know, but I'm
right.
Waiting to
right.
speak with her today. But,
okay.
all right, there's a lot of way to skin the fish, and I see, you know, you have to
yeah.
know your way around a market. You have to be set up and ready
That's
for
true.
The next step.
That's true. It's very true. And by the way, what part of New York are you in?
I'm in Rockaway Beach on the Rockaway Peninsula.
Rockaway Peninsula. Is that on the east or the?
It's in Queens.
Oh, in so, Queens, okay.
Yeah. I'm right near
okay.
Kennedy Airport, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I know a few students in North Carolina, excuse me, in the New York market, but they're up north in, like, Syracuse, up in the
yeah.
northern part of the state, Albany. They do owner financing up there where the values are decently strong. So.
Yeah. I've often considered, a lot of people say to go upstate, but, you know, for all intents and purposes, I'm far enough away from upstate. It's a couple of hour drive. It's easier
right,
to
right,
take
right.
a plane to a different market.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go,
like,
you know, at the end of the day, it's go with what you feel comfortable with. And no investor should tell another investor, mm-hmm. you need to invest here. This is where the best place is. No. With any investment, you have to have a good gut feeling about it. You have to be excited about that place. Because
right.
at the end of the day, this business, the hardest part is in our mind. And
yeah.
the only thing that's going to keep us really excited is the market in that area that we're interested in. That's where
mm-hmm.
our excitement will come from. We have interest,
yeah.
we're excited, we like it, there's something about it. Like, for example, I never invested in North and South Carolina until I actually moved here, when I did years ago. But
yeah.
I fell in love with the market so much that even I still, now that I don't even live in North or South Carolina anymore, I still invest there. I still
right.
have a presence there. You know, I still have companies mm-hmm. registered there. And that's because I love the market. And that goes to say for anyone who's investing, it should be like that. You should enjoy the market and love the market.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm thinking? If I pick a market and I make a couple of deals there, I'll get to know it. And if I can
yeah.
keep going with it, that'll make me like it. I just
Absolutely.
Heard about Pittsburgh. Are you familiar with Pittsburgh, from steel town to tech town? There's a lot going on
yeah.
there.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
yeah.
The entire, yeah, Pennsylvania in itself is doing
yeah.
a lot. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was thinking of looking there after Dayton and Pittsburgh, see what's going on there. And that's a little
sure.
closer, actually.
Okay, great. Okay,
yeah.
fantastic. Keep me updated on that. Like I said, shoot me an email if you have any updates. I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that way. All
okay,
right?
I will. Yes, I appreciate
okay,
your help.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah, no problem. All right, let me open up the line here for anyone else who has an additional question. Does anyone else want to jump in and ask any question you have or a challenge? We'll give it a few more minutes here. And if there's no one else with a question, you can feel free to email me as well at nathan@larrygoins.com. Even if you have a deal that you want to analyze, we can do that as well.
Nathan, do you have much experience with taking over homes subject to?
Yeah, I've done it. Yep.
Yeah. What is a good list to find homes that might be candidates for that?
Definitely you're going to want to work with a list broker. Have you ever heard of, like, List Source or Listability?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, working with a list broker would be a great source for that kind of stuff. You're going to want to do a direct mail campaign. Start small, maybe 300 letters, get it out there, and then make the offer. The subject to is just an offer. You know, it's just, it comes down to the offer, the style of the offer. So, but yeah, you would want to get it from maybe one of those sources. They're really good companies for that.
And who would that be? Someone who's underwater or just in pre-foreclosure?
Subject to, you can do a variety of different things. It all depends on the situation that you're looking for. You can take a property subject to for various reasons.
Yeah.
It all depends on what your, you know, what do you want to deal with? Like, does that make sense?
Like, if I wanted to keep it or sell it, you mean exit strategy?
Correct. That's exactly one point there. Do you want to hold it? Do you want to hold it? Do you want to just quick flip it out? Is it going to be, you know, that those things are going to come down to what your exit strategy is.
Yeah. Well, I think given the market, if it was nearby and it, you know, within reach and I could have a rental and someone to look in on it, I would keep it. I would need something, of course, where the monthly payment would be less than the rent you could collect, and then maybe lease option it out to someone.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I got a few students who are doing lease options. They're doing sandwich lease options. They're doing lease options because the market is really hot right now, so they, you know, everyone's trying to get top dollar, so lease options tend to work really well, and sometimes works decent in those types of situations. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely doable. What's important, mm-hmm. I think, in any part of the business is the marketing, getting the phone to ring, whether it's motivated sellers, whether, you know, that's the most important part, getting that phone to ring where you're putting either out signs, you're putting out direct mail pieces, you're doing online advertising, whatever it is for you that you enjoy, that's important, that phone rings from motivated sellers.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought if I found some properties in my own area that I could get subject to, they would be nice to keep as rentals.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can.
Mm.
You can.
Right. But I mean, more likely...
Is it
usually someone who's struggling with the mortgage that would walk away from it like that?
Yeah, that is a situation. Yep.
Yeah.
Free foreclosures. Mm-hmm.
Mm, okay.
You all right?
Okay.
Okay, great. So I don't think we have any other questions from anyone else who's on the line. I don't hear anyone else speaking up. So this is what we're going to do. If anyone has any other questions that you want to get online or email me, you can email me at nathan@larrygoins.com. And I'm going to end the call a little shorter today because I'm going to get back with Larry and the students that are here at Inner Circle. But again, I said if you had a question that you want to get answered, you can email me at nathan@larrygoins.com. All right?
Okay.
All right, great.
Thanks for your input today, Nathan.
Yeah, no problem. No problem at all. Okay, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Next week it's going to be Larry at his regular time and the questions with Larry, and then I'll see you towards the end of the month for the call with buyers and sellers. How to handle buyers and sellers. All right. Thanks so much and have a great day. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.